Well, very good morning to you. Lovely to see you here this morning. Welcome to St. Fold Road Presbyterian, whether you're here in person or joining us online. If you're new or you're visiting with us I'm Ben Walker, the minister, and we're a community, a family of God's people here based on the St. Fold Road. If you are joining us online this morning, it's great to have you with us. Very excitingly, with a bit more technology, we've got a couple more cameras in here, so you may be getting some different camera angles on people and seeing a few people as that works out. But equally, that may be throwing a few gremlins in the works. So if that isn't quite working out, either here or online, please do be patient. Chris and Phil are doing a fantastic work up the back there as they bring that to us. This morning and next Sunday, we're coming to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. This family meal that nourishes and sustains us in faith in Jesus. But yesterday, we also had a great family time. We had a car wash and a coffee morning fundraising for our Exodus teams. I think 42 cars were washed. Countless cups of tea and coffee were served. I can't imagine how many buns were eaten, but it was lovely, so lovely to be able to do this for the first time outside in ages and in developing our community garden, and the sun shone. So thanks to all those who came, thanks to all those who served and washed cars and oversaw that. Thanks especially to all those who so generously, incredibly generously donated. The team have rocketed past their fundraising target. So thank you so much for that. And they're looking forward to heading off on the 1st of July. With that in mind, a couple of other things to make note of. On Wednesday, we have an in-person midweek prayer meeting here in the church involving our young adults too. So we're praying for those Exodus teams who are heading off for 3 days with training with Exodus on the 1st of July, and then for a week based on the Shankill Road at Shankill Christian Fellowship. And we're praying too for CSSM, which is happening here the last week in July and in churches around the Newton Breeder area. And we're praying for the Transformed course, which is a course run in Kenya with Gerald and Louise Mwangi. So come to hear more about that on Wednesday evening and to pray more for those things and to get an ice lolly outside afterwards. What an incentive. One more thing to make you aware of, and that's from Sunday the 11th of July, so that's 3 weeks' time, just to mix things up. We're going to change our alternating weeks and how that happens. So at the moment, we're alternating odds and evens, and it's the even districts here this week. But from the 11th of July, to give people a chance to be in worship with people they haven't maybe seen or been in worship with for a while, on the 11th of July, we're going to have districts 1 to 7. And then on the 18th of July, districts 8 to 15. And then that will alternate, 1 to 7 and 8 to 15. That begins on the 11th of July. We've got 3 weeks before that happens. I'll say it again and again, and we'll get it on the notices. Let me know if you're not sure what district you're in or when you're supposed to come. It's just great to see people whenever they can come. But we'll begin that on the 11th of July. But this morning, as we come to worship, let me begin with some words from Hebrews chapter 2. The writer to the Hebrews is explaining that we don't yet in life see everything in this world as it was intended to be or as it will be. But, he says, we do see Jesus. Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. He carries on, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. So we come, we gather to lift our eyes to the King of Heaven, the one for whom and through whom everything exists, the one who humbly came to suffer for us, to taste death for us, so that we can live in forgiveness and hope and life and the hope of glory. The one who came like us. We are his family. So he's not ashamed to say, you're my sisters and brothers. We're the children of God. He is with us, and we gather to sing his praise and put our trust in him. We do that as we open with our first song, Come People of the Risen King. We stand to sing and praise. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Glorious God, we come to praise you and give you thanks. In your Son, Jesus Christ, you have given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Lord, you chose us before the world was made to be your holy people without fault in your sight. You adopted us as your children in Christ Jesus. You set us free by his blood. You have forgiven our sins. Lord, you see our sins more clearly than we do. You know us. You know how we've been indifferent to to your word. Forgetful about praying. Angry and impatient and thoughtless or untruthful in our families, with our friends, in places where you've put us as your witnesses. Lord, we confess it. Assure us of our forgiveness in Jesus. Renew us in our lives and in our hope in you. For we know that you have made known to us your purposes, that you'll bring heaven and earth together in Christ, that you've given us your Holy Spirit, the seal and pledge of our inheritance. So, Lord God, may all the praise and glory be yours. We thank you for the richness of your grace, for the splendor of your gifts to us, for the wonder of your love. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. We're going to continue in prayer and say the Lord's Prayer together, and it will come up on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, before we come a little later to join together in communion, we've been looking at Proverbs over these past weeks, and I wanted to think this morning just a little bit about family and family in Proverbs. It's unintentionally on my part, I hadn't thought about this at all, but it's appropriate that this is Father's Day as we think about family. But this also comes with some reflection I've had from a whole number of conversations I've had with people about family situations during the last weeks. So, to begin, here's Ed on video to read some verses from Proverbs 17, a number of which touch on family and family life.
Proverbs 17, verses 1 to 6, and then verses 17 to 22. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. A prudent servant will rule over a disgraceful son and will share the inheritance as one of the family. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. A wicked person listens to deceitful lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Whoever mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. One who has no sense shakes hands in pledge and puts up security for a neighbor. Whoever loves a quarrel loves sin. Whoever builds a high gate invites destruction. One whose heart is corrupt does not prosper. One whose tongue is perverse falls into trouble. To have a fool for a child brings grief. There is no joy for the parent of a godless fool. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones.
Thanks to Ed for that. Let's pray for a moment. Father God, we thank you that you speak to us through your word. We thank you that you want to shape our lives for your glory and in our families. Lord, help us to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, from the start of looking at Proverbs, we have, in our series and the book itself, understood God our Father wanting to shape and form us as his children. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions. But there's a picture of how God shapes our lives in Proverbs 17, verse 3, that we just heard from Ed. It's this: the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Crucible. Now, maybe when you hear that word, you're thinking World Snooker Championships or the play by Arthur Miller. But the crucible, as you may well know, is a heat-resistant container, a bowl, perhaps made of clay historically, in which metals, like silver, were melted to purify their quality in order to make something valuable from that metal. A crucible has come to mean a place or a situation in life where the forces of life, maybe pressure, maybe influence, maybe pain, maybe love, comes to bear and plays a part in forming something new and refined. Like, for example, their relationship was formed in the crucible of war. That sounds like a kind of like phrase from a film coming up, doesn't it? And you could see their relationship was formed in the crucible of war. And you can imagine the story that's going to come out of that. Proverbs 17, verse 3 uses it in that way. Just like a metal worker melts and refines silver in the crucible, the Lord works in our life situations on the inner person. Maybe melting our hearts, purifying thoughts and attitudes, challenging and shaping lives to be lived for his glory. He proves and forms us in crucible situations. But one of the biggest crucibles of life, one of the biggest places and situations that God uses to form and shape us, is the family. Our families. From the start, Proverbs is pointing not only to our Heavenly Father, but to our actual families and family life as one of the most significant and ongoing crucibles in which God teaches and tests and refines and shapes you and me. See, family life is not a separate thing from our life of faith, and it's not just even a small part. How we live and grow as followers of Jesus, children of our Heavenly Father, is hugely shaped through the crucible of our family. Now, when I say family, that can mean families of all shapes and sizes, as well as parents and children. Proverbs 17 talks of brothers and sisters and grandparents and grandchildren. And there doesn't seem to be any age limit. Elderly parents, grown-up children, sisters and brothers at any stage, they're all in the mix of our understanding of the crucible of family. And like a crucible, families bring some of life's purest joys, don't they? The white-hot heights of love and delight. Grandparents, aren't children's children a crown to the aged? That's what Proverbs says. But like a crucible, families can also bring some of the most heated and painful moments. I wonder what comes to mind when you think about family. Delight? Longing? Aspirational ideals? Painful realities? Joyful memories? Hurtful memories? Families can be the making of us in the love, character, and faith that they shape us with. Families can be the breaking of us, spirits crushed by those closest to us, separation, grief, disappointment. And yet, even through difficult family experiences, we can see God and God at work. So we want to say that the Father shapes us through good family experiences. Proverbs pictures how working at its best, God shapes us in his ways through family. At its best, family is like Johnny talked about friendship so powerfully last week. The people who let us in and never let us down. Proverbs pictures how good family teaching and example shapes children for the best more than anything else. In family, we're taught about values and convictions that Proverbs highlights so much. We talk about love and about truth and compassion and care for others and generous hospitality and encouragement and praise and respect. We learn around the family dinner table so much, don't we? I was thinking about those signs we have by our dinner table. Maybe you've got this hovers over our dinner table, mealtime rules. Keep your elbows off the table, eat your vegetables, try everything at least once. Maybe you've got those sorts of things that hover over your dinner table and values we want to have as a family. I was also reading Proverbs 30, verse 17, and wondering what it would look like to put above a family dinner table. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be plucked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Oh, my word. Anyway, I was thinking around that table of the father finding a job that actually makes him less stressed and able to spend more time with his family, though it may mean less coming in. Or of someone else who told me they grew up in a poor family, they all shared from the one plate, but they were happy. Children learning that a meal of bread and water in contented peace is better than a banquet spiced with quarrels, as Proverbs 17:1 says. I was recently talking to a young man who had to stand up to speak about his Christian convictions in front of a really difficult crowd, and he was accused of being brainwashed by his Christian family. But actually, all family life forms us, doesn't it? Christian, other faith, or none. Children form values and convictions by the influences that parents either intentionally or unintentionally allow. And that's not brainwashing. That's what families do. Let me encourage you to see family, whatever role you have in it, as a positive place where we pass on values, convictions, and most of all, faith. Where children see by our sincerity and our enthusiasm for Jesus what it means to live with a passion for him themselves. Where children see from our prayerfulness and trust what it is to depend on the Father themselves. In the crucible of family life, we also develop skills, don't we, for faithful life that Proverbs talks about. So in families, we learn patience, don't we? We learn patience. We learn forgiveness. We learn how to overlook insults. We learn how to cover over things with love. We learn how to foster reconciliation when conflict happens. We learn how to use powerful words with timeliness and the right tone, especially on the back of not having done that. We learn where being greedy gets you and how to share. We learn where being proud gets you. It's families that keep us humble, isn't it? We learn how to live with people who don't agree with us. We learn about being a living witness for Jesus among those who know us at our worst. Families at their human best teach us about what God is like. So if you have known a loving parent, however much you love them and they love you, the love of the Heavenly Father is even greater. How amazing is that? And if you had a big brother you look up to or rely on or who has looked out for you, yet that is just a picture of the greatest elder brother, Jesus, who laid down his life for us and is alongside us in everything. A brother born for adversity, as Proverbs puts it. Where family evokes love and acceptance, being yourself and feeling at home, how much more that speaks of the loving, gracious, forgiving acceptance of the Father, of the one who wants us to live freely as the people he's truly made us to be, who wants us to know our true home in and with him. And yet families, even far from their human best, a are crucibles which teach us how much we need God. How much we need God's grace and strength because we're not up to the parenting task. How we need to trust him when the grown-up child keeps making the same mistakes and wandering away. Or perhaps it's the broken brother beyond our influence. Or the elderly parent beyond our care. How much we need God's forgiveness when we've not been the parent or the son or the sister we should have been. Maybe God has been breaking and reshaping us through the breakdown of relationship. Maybe we might discover how loving and faithful and ever-present our Father is when we've not experienced that in a parent. Sometimes families are nothing like they should be. Maybe your family has taught you or is teaching you to depend on God's grace and turn to him like no one or nothing else. I was thinking about the song we sing here quite a bit, and I think means a lot to us as a congregation. There's strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. And you meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fear. You're working in our waiting, sanctifying us, when beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. And how applicable that is to family situations. Perhaps that some of us are going through or have gone through real crucible experiences of loss or pain or hurt. But through them, there is a path in which God is shaping and teaching us more about himself and our need of him, where God, our Father, is discovered to be different, maybe true and loving. Perhaps in which he calls us to be different, different from what we've experienced, different from what we were. God is at work in us through the crucible of our families, at their best, at their worst, and everywhere in between. And may we intentionally seek him to be so. And church family in which we read these words and sing such songs, is also a crucible in which God shapes us. Sadly, I know church can at times be a painful or a hurtful or confusing experience for some. I hear about it. I read about it. Maybe there have been or will be or are right now times we need to find healing or speak to someone about an experience or in the spirit of Proverbs, be open to listen to correction. And yet God's family, the church family, is designed to be the most beautiful thing, where ultimately people from every tribe and nation and tongue will gather. But even now, where we're one together in Christ, with a father and a brother and united by his Spirit. And Proverbs teaches us about how we speak to and treat one another as children of the Father, especially when we aren't like one another, especially when we don't always see eye to eye. But God puts us together in this melting pot. And there are moments of pure joy. Being able to meet in the sunshine for fellowship yesterday, welcoming new members to our family today as we will. And we know too that God has brought us and brings us through trials together and forms and shapes us through them. Fire, tragedy, pandemic. In this crucible of church family, we come together to grow together, refined, ironing, sharpening iron. Give thanks for the family that is around you. It's so appropriate then to celebrate communion together around the Father's dining table. Fed by the Father's promises and love, centered on the crucible experience of our brother Jesus for us. That brother born for our adversity to take our death for us. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Be shaped by that truth today, if nothing else. As we come with the joys and the struggles from the crucibles of our own families, as we come as the family of God, may we receive by the Spirit of mercy and strength and renewal and grace from God our Father and our brother, our friend, our Lord, Jesus Christ. We're going to spend a moment reflecting as we come to communion, and we're going to sing together. We're going to stay seated, but we're going to sing together of Jesus, our servant King.
Yeah.
We're going to share together now in the Lord's Supper, the Lord's family at his table. As we do, we want to formally welcome several new people who are joining our church family as communicant members. Many of these people have come from maybe different churches or church backgrounds in the past where they've professed and lived out their faith before, and are now coming to reaffirm that with us, in commitment to Jesus Christ, they're part of his family here. Now, it's a bit tricky in these days to have people, especially a number of people, up at the front. So they all joined with Kirk Session this morning on Zoom. We had a little gathering on Zoom this morning, and I asked them all together, before the elders, the questions that we ask everybody who comes to be a communicant member here about their faith and living it out. Listen to these questions. You maybe answer these before yourself, or maybe not yet. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Do you promise to join regularly with your fellow Christians in worship on the Lord's Day and be faithful in reading the Bible and in prayer? Do you promise to give a fitting proportion of your time, talents, and money for the church's work in the world? Do you promise, depending on the grace of God, to confess Christ openly, to serve him in your daily occupations, and to walk in his ways all the days of your lives? Well, all these folks professed that before the elders this morning, and so we come this morning to welcome them into membership. I'm not just going to read out their names, though, because we couldn't have them up the front. I'm going to show you some pictures of them, so we get a chance to put names and faces together and see who all these people are. So I'm hoping Chris is going to put some folks up on the screen. So I have Barbara Dane and Ilana Patterson and Amy McKee up here singing already, you've seen this morning, and Nick and Rebecca McNeil, and they have little Rowan and Gavin and Karis Rogers. They've got little Caleb. And you'll be seeing Rowan and Caleb a little bit later in August when we baptize them. There's Dave and Bessiana Nelson, who have, you see there, Ariana and Alira, and Chris and Lynn Guinea, and they've got Ava and Mia and Freya, Johnny and Claire Cockrell, and there's Adam there in the middle, Alan Withers, and Bethany McClune, and Joel Gurley. 16 people joining us in membership this morning, which is terrific. Some of them are here, I think, this morning. Some come next. Give me a wave if you're here this morning. I see the Nelson, I see Alana, I see Jill, I see Nick. I see. Listen, you're really welcome. I couldn't do the very formal right hand of fellowship, which we love to do because of COVID. I've given some people already the right elbow nudge of fellowship. But welcome them in and do say that to them after the service too. It's lovely to have you with us. As we do welcome them, let me say that in the autumn, we're going to share in communion again. And before that, we'll have some classes to help those who'd like to understand what it means to be a communicant member of God's family here. Maybe for those who are young and have grown up in faith and want to come to that point of professing that faith and commitment here at St. Phil Road. Or maybe those who are newer to us. Or maybe have been here a little while, but perhaps coming to faith or back to faith, or from somewhere else, and you feel this will be the time or this will be the place you want to properly call your church family and commit to. That's great. I'd love to talk with anybody about that. Maybe you've been a part of St. Phil Road for a while, and for one reason or another, not yet taken this step, making a profession of your faith and a public commitment to being part of the family here. Whatever may be keeping you back, I'd love to talk with you about that. Now, this is, of course, different from how we often shared communion in the past, although similar how we did it at the end of last year. Bread you'll find in a paper bowl under your seat. And wine in a coffee cup with a lid. Such is the way at the moment. Hopefully you'll find with the bread enough to have or enough to share with those you are sitting with in your household bubble, or to have all of it yourself if that's you. And again, hopefully enough to share around the cup in your bubble or to have yourself. We'll come to that at a point when we can take off masks and tangibly participate. But for all this difference, it's the same meal, the same truth and grace, the same body in which we participate, the same one Spirit that unites us, the same one Lord, one faith, one baptism we share, one God and Father of us all. So as we come, let's hear the words that Paul writes that remind us of what happened when Jesus ate this meal with his disciples. Paul writes, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So this is the Lord's table. He is the host. Here, God is providing. However we've set it up, God is providing. God is speaking. God is assuring. God is feeding. This is the Lord's table at which he says, "I know you. I know you need my forgiveness, which I've given to you in Jesus Christ on the cross through his body and blood shed. And I continue to lavish out the grace of Jesus on you, says our Father, in accordance with my promises, my love, which are fresh and true and real today as we taste and see that the Lord is good." This meal is open for all true believers, whether or not you're a communicant member here at St. Paul Row with us. If you're sorry for your sins and sincerely follow Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are invited to receive this with gladness. Don't just take it because everyone else is, but do take it in faith. So we come young and old. We come maybe as those with much faith, maybe as those who would love more. We come as God's people who have tried to follow Jesus and God's people who have failed. But we come because Jesus invites us to meet with him and know the grace and the joy and the promises that are ours through him. At this point, as a sign of our oneness as a family and in our faith, we're going to say the Apostles' Creed together. We'll stay seated, but the words will be up on the screen. We'll say our faith together. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life." Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father God, you invite us to share in this meal around your table, and we come. Lord, we come looking up to you, giving our praise and thanks for you, an awesome and a powerful God, who made this world and all that's in it. And you're a faithful and loving God who made us and calls us to be your people. Lord, we come looking to receive from you, that you would speak to us and remind and assure us that we are your people, holy and dearly loved. Lord Jesus, we come looking back at what you have done for us. We thank you that you lived and died and rose again, that we may know you and know forgiveness and life with you. We thank you that we share in the power of your blood poured out for us. And we come looking forward to what this means. We thank you for your promises of new life, of your Spirit in us, of a wonderful future in your new creation, which you have guaranteed through Christ who will come again. Lord, we come looking inwards at ourselves. And we thank you that even though we don't deserve a seat at your table, you invite us to come. Lord, we come looking outwards. We thank you for each other, that we are one people, a family in Christ, that we share in this meal together. We thank you that we share this faith with all your people around the world and all the saints in glory. Move among us by your Spirit as we eat and drink, and seal in us those great promises you've given us in Jesus. Strengthen us through this meal by your Spirit to be a living witness to the world around us of your good news of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The bread we break and share in is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup for which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. In these next moments, we'll eat and drink together. First, we'll take a moment to eat the bread. You can break it among your household and put it around, and we'll eat it together, and you can take a moment to unwrap it. And then once we've had a moment eating and reflecting, I'll invite us to share together in the wine. I should say, on a practical note, the wine is non-alcoholic, the bread is all gluten-free. But as you eat and drink, take time to reflect. These are the gifts of God given for the people of God. Take them remembering that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts with thanksgiving. So the body of Christ was broken for us. Amen. And the blood of Christ was shed for us. Amen. Alf Thompson is going to come and lead us in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that we can come to you as our Father, as part of your family today. Thank you that through Jesus you have made a way for us to become your children. It is such a privilege to be part of a family of people of so many nationalities, languages, and ethnicities. Thank you for the way that you shape us, as Ben has talked about, through our earthly families, both through the good and the bad experiences. Family life, Lord, can be so beautiful, but also so complex and at times painful. We thank you for the gift of the good things we have experienced in our families, and we ask that where we have hurt or have been hurt within our families, that you will open the door to, where possible, bring healing and reconciliation. Lord, we thank you for our family here in St. Field Road. It is such a gift from you to be part of this multi-generational family of your saints in this place. We ask you that this will be a place where your love overflows, both between us and to the world around us. May we be a people who love you deeply and passionately, with all of our hearts, our minds, and our lives. May we be a people who love each other well, where we know we are accepted, where we can grow and change, where we can challenge each other in love, where we can become disciples of you together in a way that we just couldn't by ourselves. And may that love of you and each other flow from this place into the lives of people around us, so that they are drawn to you and to become part of your family. Today, Lord, we especially thank you for the way our church family is growing. Lord, it's nothing short of thrilling to have so many new members joining us today, and we thank you for each of them. We thank you that you have created them, shaped them, that you have walked alongside them through blessings and difficulties, and we thank you for who they are and all they bring to this church family and to your worldwide family as well. Lord, we want to pray your blessing over each of them and their families. May you bless and keep and shine upon Johnny, Claire, and Adam, Barbara, Jill, Chris, Lynn, Ava, Mia, and Freya, Bethany, Amy, Nick, Rebecca, and Rowan, Dave, Bessiana, Ariana, and Elira, Alana, Gavin, Karis, and Caleb, and Alan. May they each know and experience your love through this church family. And on this Father's Day, Lord, a day that brings so many mixed emotions for many people, we thank you for the ways that we have been fathered well, and we ask that you will heal the places where our fathers have hurt us through action or inaction. And we will pray you will comfort those who are grieving the recent loss of their fathers. And Lord, for all of those of us who are fathers, we ask that you will guide us by your grace in how to be good fathers, and that you will give us wisdom so that we can pass on to our children of any age the things they most need to receive from us. Thank you, Lord, that whatever our experience is of earthly fathers, you are our most loving heavenly Father. Thank you for loving us and saving us. We pray, Lord, that you will be with all those involved in summer mission from our church. We thank you for all those involved in the Exodus teams and in CSSM.
We pray that you will be at work in and through all those involved to touch people with your love and grace. Thank you for all the support the Exodus team fundraising have had over the last week, and we praise you that they have reached their fundraising target. And Lord, this week we bring our country of Northern Ireland before you. In all the political complexities, we pray that you will inspire our political leaders to seek to listen well to each other and to seek to govern on behalf of all the people of Northern Ireland rather than just those who agree with them. Lord, we pray that you will prevent any violence or unrest from developing over this summer. And, oh Lord, we ask that we will be a people who put following you ahead of our political or national identity. And, Lord, in the words of the old hymn, first written in Irish, that we are about to sing, that you will be our vision, that you will be our wisdom, and that you will be Lord of our hearts, and that you will bring about a transformation in our country that will be a witness of grace to people all around the world. Lord, before we end, we take a moment to bring the people and situations that are on our hearts and our minds before you now. Thank you, Lord, for your love, and please give each of us opportunities to experience your love afresh this coming week, and also opportunities to share your love with others. Amen.
Alf, we really appreciate you leading us. And we're going to sing together that hymn, that great hymn of faith, of prayerful hope. Be thou my vision.
Save the Lord, now my best Lord in the
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn